Now, so much for the scriptures. A special transmission outside the scriptures. So at least we've learned at last, if we didn't know it before, probably we didn't, what is meant by the expression the Buddhist scriptures. So that's one point dealt with. Now we come to the second one. We've understood what we mean by scriptures. Got some vague glimmering of an understanding, I hope. So now we come to what is meant by transmission. If we've understood nothing else about the scriptures, at least we've understood that they're voluminous. So perhaps we can leave it at that too. So now come to the idea of transmission, or special transmission. What is meant by this? Now, in English, the word transmission, according to my dictionary at least, means literally to send across. It means also to pass on, to hands down. So here, in this context, the idea is, as it were, of Buddhism as something itself transmitted, or passed on, or handed down. Take the biological plane. We may say there is a transmission, as it were, of life, human life, from the parents to the children. It's life which is passed on, which is transmitted. So in the same way, on the spiritual plane, there's also a transmission. There's a transmission of Buddhism, in the sense of a transmission of spiritual life, corresponding to, parallel with, on a higher level, the biological transmission on the biological plane. So this spiritual transmission, this transmission of spiritual life on the spiritual plane, Buddhism in a sense being this transmission, takes place not between parents and children as on the biological plane, but as between teacher and disciple. That's why in Buddhism, as in all spiritual disciplines, especially those of the East, this relationship of teacher and disciple, is considered extremely important, if not of crucial importance, because it's through this relationship that the spiritual life of Buddhism is transmitted, preserved, and handed on from generation to generation. In fact, one wouldn't be exaggerating if one said that the whole world of Buddhism turns, as it were, on the axis of this relationship, the relationship between the teacher and the disciple. One can say, at the same time, that there are many types of transmission of Buddhism, many different levels, as it were, on which Buddhism can be transmitted, many aspects of transmission. Principally, one can say that these are four in Buddhism, a fourfold transmission, or even a fourfold tradition. One can say, first of all, there's a transmission of ordination, or sangbara. Now, this morning we had a couple of ordinations here, in this very room. The ordination or initiation of a lay person as a lay devotee, a lay brother if you like, and the ordination of a novice monk. So there are two kinds of ordination, we may say, in Buddhism. Ordination as a lay brother or lay sister, ordination as a monk or as a layman, or as a nun, either lower ordination or higher ordination. This morning we had just one lower ordination. So within Buddhism, very great importance is attached to this, to the correct transmission of the ordination, the correct handing on, as it were, of the ordination. This is considered important because it ensures, we may say, a certain organizational stability, that someone is taken in the proper way, received in the proper way, trained in the proper way, the teaching transmitted to him in the proper way. So we may say that the transmission of ordination or tradition of ordination in Buddhism, whether as regards monks or lay people, may be compared to the skeleton inside the body, which keeps the whole structure, as it were, firm and upright, upon which the flesh and the blood and the rest of it are, as it were, plastered. So this is the first type of transmission of Buddhism, the transmission of ordination. This is on the lowest level, as it were. Then we've got the transmission of the scriptures, the handing down of the scriptures. These, as we saw, were originally oral tradition, then after that committed to manuscript, and nowadays printed in book form. So when we speak of the transmission of the scriptures, we don't mean simply the handing down of the words, the handing down of the texts, the handing down of the books, but also the passing on, along with the text, of the correct interpretation. Now, this is very important. In Tibetan Buddhism, for instance, they've got a system of what they call lung, in Sanskrit agama, authority or authorization or permission. In Tibetan Buddhism, supposing you want to study a certain canonical text, suppose you want to study, say, the Saddharma Pundarika Sutra, the Sutra of the White Lotus of the Wonderful Law, a wonderful doctrine. Now, you won't just get the book from the library, not even from the monastic library. Or it's not just that. You'll get the book. Then you'll find out some teacher who knows it very well, who has studied it, say, with his teacher. And you go to him, and you sit with him, and you read it, and he explains it. So this is the traditional system. That the traditional understanding, interpretation, sort of accumulated wisdom and understanding with regard to that particular text is passed on in this way. Otherwise, very often we open a text, we just see something, read something, think we understand something, jump to conclusions, and interpret very subjectively. Interpret in accordance with our own mental attitudes, our own prejudices even. This is not to say that individual understanding, even interpretation, is discouraged in Buddhism, or at least in Tibetan Buddhism, but only that is emphasized that before you can even think of giving your own interpretation, you should at least know it, at least understand what the traditional interpretation is, and make your own interpretation on the basis of that traditional one. So this is the transmission of the scriptures. No need to elaborate upon this, as I've already said much about the scriptures. Then thirdly, there's transmission of the doctrine, the teaching. We may say that this type of transmission represents the transmission of the systematic presentation of all the teachings contained in the scriptures, especially presentation of them by way of various sets of doctrinal formulae. The transmission, say, of formulae like the Four Truths, the Eightfold Path, the 12 Nidanas, the 5 Spiritual Faculties, the 7 Links of Enlightenment, and all the rest of them. There's a list, perhaps, of several hundreds, a list of lists. Those of you who come regularly are very familiar with these things, at least with the expression list of lists. So this is transmission of doctrine. Then fourthly, we've got transmission of the living spirit of Buddhism. Now this is the most important of all. You can transmit ordination, you can transmit scriptures, you can transmit doctrine, but unless you transmit the living spirit, all the rest of it is, as it were, useless. So it's this type of transmission of the living spirit of Buddhism, above and beyond, as it were, the ordination and the scripture and the doctrine, transcending all these, that this verse refers to when it speaks of a special transmission outside the scriptures. It's not a sort of esoteric teaching, not a sort of occult doctrine, something secret, alongside, but something, as it were, transcending. Something above, something belonging, as it were, to a different dimension. Something without which all the rest is, if not completely valueless, at least not really, not fully worthwhile.